This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman in studio. Wildfire smoke lingering across eastern North Dakota, parts of northwest and west central Minnesota today through tomorrow, through Friday actually, with a slight chance of showers in eastern North Dakota by Saturday as those winds shift from the south. Highs will stay in the 70s, lows in the 50s. Meanwhile, southern Minnesota could see storms late tonight into Wednesday morning, followed by mostly dry and cooler weather.
President Trump will be briefed on a potential trade deal with China later today. Administration officials were in Sweden with trade negotiations. U.S. Trade Ambassador Jameson Greer said a potential extension of the deadline with Chinese purchases. The two countries now facing an August 12th deadline.
We're going to head back to Washington, D.C., and we're going to talk to the president about whether that's something that he wants to do. It's certainly something that's been under discussion, and so we'll brief the president on the outcome of this, and we'll see if there are any. You know, we have further technical discussions that are happening right now as we speak among the teams, and so the president can make a final call on whether that's something that he wants to do.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said there was a different attitude seen in the negotiations with China.
For decades, the U.S. trading system sacrificed manufacturing for to be able to sell, whether it was ag or natural resources. And now under President Trump, as you've seen with the Japan deal, with the Europe deal, we are able to do both. We are able to reshore manufacturing and also do substantial purchase agreements of U.S. ag and energy.
Most other countries are facing a significant increase in tariffs when the latest deadline passes on Friday.
New trade deals between the United States and several global partners are expected to directly benefit American farmers and ranchers. Ag groups, including the American Farm Bureau and U.S. Grains Council, say the agreements will strengthen access to international markets. One deal with the European Union is especially significant, with the grain trade already valued at over $1 billion in the current marketing year. The Renewable Fuels Association said the timing is ideal as U.S. corn growers prepare for a potentially record-breaking harvest.
Trump administration's new dietary guidelines won't be released until October. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said the new guidelines are an opportunity to make massive changes in the food industry.
The U.S. Grains Standard Act is up for reauthorization. During a Senate Agriculture Committee hearing, American Soybean Association board member Brandon Whiff, who farms near Huron, South Dakota, said uncertainty needs to be removed from the trading process.
Anytime you buy anything from a shirt to a cargo of soybeans, you want to know what you're paying and what you're getting for it. And if you know both of those things, I think you have a very good relationship. And so these rules are imperative to the continuation of our good relationships abroad.
Grain industry representatives from Fargo and Chanhassen, Minnesota, also testified before the committee.
The Rural Main Street Index posted back-to-back months above growth neutral for the first time since mid-2023, signaling some optimism in farm country. Bankers reporting low farm loan delinquencies, but challenges remain. One in four farmers is expected to see negative income in 2025. Farmland prices and farm equipment sales remaining below growth neutral levels. Regional ag exports also dropping sharply, down 19% from last year, though Mexico remains the top customer, taking in over half of those goods.
While details are still coming together, the latest framework agreements with countries like Japan, the EU, United Kingdom, and Australia could open doors that have been closed for decades. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley.
I never thought I'd see the day that we get rice into Japan or beef into Australia. Or we're supposed to have some, it's not very clear, but even with Europe.
The EU has long restricted U.S. farm goods with tough regulatory and tariff barriers, while Australia, despite an existing free trade agreement, has blocked most American beef. Grassley says it's unclear if these new deals will fix that situation, especially with the ag industry already facing a record $32 billion trade deficit last year and an even higher projected $42 billion gap projected for the upcoming year. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. Sugar beet growers in the Red River Valley are optimistic as the harvest season approaches. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber says the crop has held up well despite some weather extremes this year.
But when the dust has settled here, I think there's a lot of potential in this crop, and we're just, our staff is going out and doing our root samples pulls this week, and those numbers are yet to come in, but we're kind of forecasting right around a 30-ton crop, and that's kind of on pace with our five-year average, so still a lot of excitement about the crop.
Moisture conditions generally favorable across most of the valley, though disease pressure remains a bit of a concern.
I know, way up kind of by the Canadian border there, north of Grafton, they're still generally kind of dry. They've gotten a few rains, but still dry. The rest of the valley, I would say, is definitely adequate on soil moisture. But a lot of things can change as we still get into harvest. You know, one of the main things, though, with this hot, humid, warm nights is our Cercospora, and that's a leaf disease that we're always monitoring and can really rob us of sugar content. So guys are out actively managing that and making applications and trying to protect what sugar is out there.
Harvest pre-pile scheduled for August 12th, factories starting on August 14th.
Potato fields in North Dakota and Minnesota are in good shape. Northland Potato Growers Association Executive Director Gary Shields says growing conditions have been favorable thus far.
Well, you know, obviously Northland Potato Growers represents North Dakota, Minnesota, and with those combined acres, as of the week of July 13th, we were about 50% good, North Dakota, 7% excellent, Minnesota about 60% good, 27% excellent. Think things are great. We've had some very timely rains. We're avoiding, some of the things like blight and things of that nature. We don't have any issues there. And
northern areas near the Canadian border needed more moisture earlier this month, but the recent rain has helped.
The rains up north, you get up to the Canadian border in that Crystal Hoople area, they could use just a little bit more rain, although, you know, in the last few days, we've had some events, so they may be getting caught up. But overall, they're fine. We don't have anybody that's in a drought situation.
Firefighters still on the scene of a major explosion yesterday at the Horizon Biofuels Refinery in Fremont, Nebraska. It's not known what caused the explosion. Three people who were working in the plant when it exploded remain unaccounted for.
Nearly a dozen Minnesota farm groups have filed comments for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's proposed feedlot rules. In a joint letter, the group said the current rule is adequate and no additional changes are necessary. The coalition said voluntary incentive-based practices remain the best way to protect water resources.
Union Pacific has announced it will purchase Norfolk Southern Railway for $85 billion. Pending a lengthy regulatory process, this deal will create the country's first coast-to-coast freight rail operation. The last major merger for Class I railroads was the Canadian Pacific Kansas City Southern in 2023, valued at $31 billion.
House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson said his panel will move forward with a fix for California's Prop 12. The 2023 Supreme Court decision upheld the law requiring hog producers nationwide to follow California's sow housing standards despite concerns over interstate commerce.
This committee will consider a measured correction that preserves states' rights to control their internal agriculture practices, will protect interstate commerce, and preserve states' animal health regulations and laws.
National Pork Producer Council Vice President Patrick Hoard says Prop 12 is putting family farms at risk.
I am here to say that Prop 12 and an unmitigated regulatory patchwork threatens our farm. Prop 12 makes it a crime in California to sell uncooked whole pork meat from the offspring of sows that aren't raised according to the state's arbitrary housing standards.
A joint study from Iowa State and the University of Minnesota found producers would need a premium of $5 to $8 per pig to deliver break-evens under the Prop 12 compliance systems. You're in tune with the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. Following applications in the United States, Canada, and Brazil, Bayer has submitted regulatory paperwork for the first new mode of action for post-emergent weed control in over 30 years. This tool belongs to a new class of chemicals providing lower dose rates, more targeted applications, and with high levels of safety. Icofalin has been developed initially for use in soybeans, cereals, pulses, and oilseed crops. This Bayer product is expected to launch in 2028 in Brazil, followed by activity in the U.S., Canada, and the European Union.
The United States is well past the peak of tornado season, but 2025 is shaping up to be one of the most active tornado years on record. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the country has already seen a significant number of tornadoes in just the first half of the year.
We have reached a level of tornado activity that puts us within reach of an all-time record for number of tornadoes in the United States.
That, as of mid-July. Of the 1,350 tornadoes recorded by that time,
we were particularly active through that traditional peak season of March, April, May, and June. Not one big month in that total. The highest monthly total that we saw was April with 352. But with four strong months of tornado activity, that has pushed us to that number of 1,350 for the first 6.5 months of 2025.
Rippey says the current pace could challenge the all-time record of 1,819 tornadoes set in 2004. A potential secondary tornado season in the fall could push 2025 into the record books.
A bipartisan bill has been introduced in the House that would direct the U.S. Energy Information Administration to include sustainable aviation fuel data in its weekly and monthly reports. The bill is designed to provide more insight into production trends for this segment of the biofuels industry.
Checking markets, we have Minneapolis wheat now down a half penny at 577, while December gains 2 cents at 602. Chicago wheat September down 2 3/4. September hard red winter wheat down 0.75 cents. Even money for September corn, 389 1/4. New crop corn, 0.25 cents higher. Soybeans, September down 2 cents, 987 1/2. New crop soybeans down by 2 cents as well. Checking the farm calendar, Peterson Farm Seed, they're celebrating their 30th anniversary of activities going on this evening in Prosper, North Dakota. And the Ag PhD Field Day is on tap on tap tomorrow. That's at Baltic, South Dakota. It's their biggest ever for the Hefty Boys in Ag PhD. Next week will be Farm Fest. We'll be on the road reporting from Minnesota's Redwood County. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in near the Redwood Falls area. This is the Red River Farm Network.